So let's get started. Thanks for coming out to hear this tonight. Who in here has not heard channeling before? Everybody. Everybody, okay, good.
Who has not heard
a channel or channeling.
So we all have heard channeling.
So it looks like everybody has. Looks like everybody has. Great. Great. The being that I channel is named Jehudi, and this is his Egyptian name, but he comes through in all cultures across time. And he's a Hermes, Mercury, translator, scribe, messenger figure. Most of us who are aware of Ascended Masters would have come across him as Thoth or Toth, and also Saint Germain and Merlin, though he has other human lives as well. When he starts, he usually explains what an Ascended Master is as a way, as a little bit of an introduction of himself to you and opening the space together. Because he always asserts that they are just like us, they simply have a different role. While we are in the game space of life on Earth embodied, they're outside helping us. But we're the same, we're all slivers of divinity, we're all slivers of creator energy. Because we always capitalize that Ascended Master thing, and he just wants us to be clear that he's just like us, he just has a different role to play right now. This topic is an outgrowth of actually the one that I'm going to be doing tomorrow in Southwest Portland, which is called The Return of the Goddess. And it's basically about coming out of living in the patriarchy. Tonight we're going to focus, or he will focus with us on what is essentially the residue of the patriarchy in our bodies. And he will explain that. He'll explain some about the nature of soul and how each life relates to it, and how this particular this Tom Jacobs body is one manifestation of a soul's journey across time. And that soul experiences everything simultaneously, and so there's really no such thing as time, except when we're embodied and we're tied to the clock and we are born, mature, age, and die. All of our passions, dilemmas, and fears are actually in common among all of our lives. So your biggest roadblocks, your biggest passions are actually things that your soul was dealing with in a bunch of different lives. And so consequently, what we've experienced over the last 6,000 years according to Earth time is present tense data for our soul across time. And this stuff, if we have, for example, we've all been men and women in different lives. We've all gone back and forth. And we've all experienced a lot about human sexuality through the lens of this political system, this belief system that we call patriarchy. And so we're carrying things in our bodies. And so this teaching tonight is about helping us see some things and gain some insight so that we can release some things and move on into a really conscious way of being together, conscious way of being and being together. Okay, so I'm just going to take a moment, and when he comes through, he will introduce himself. I invite you to close your eyes. He will lead us through a meditation together, so he'll ask you to close your eyes, but I invite you to keep your eyes closed for the duration of the teaching, unless you have to get up and use the restroom or get some water or something, because he's going to be holding a space for all of us through me to adjust our consciousness level about these issues and to open the door for healing some things that are from the past that are actually so deep that we probably don't even know they exist. This idea of things being carried in our fields and in our bodies very deeply. And so that is essentially an energy transmission, and that works really, really well when we're receptive and soft. And so our eyes being closed is a really great way to do that. Oh, a couple other notes. As I say these different faces of this being, you know, Jehudi, Thoth, Saint Germain, Merlin, they're all going to be present tonight. And just to give you a little, if you're not familiar with this being, Jehudi and Thoth are more kind of explain it like it is, just the facts. Please, you know, give you insight so that you can shift perspective. Merlin is really about, as I've channeled him directly, is really about sexual healing. That's why I think he's going to be more present tonight than usual. And he's about the alchemical reality that, you know, this alchemical thing that we are you know, everyone's masculine and feminine within, but with usually with one set of pipes, etc. And then Saint Germain is always inviting us to have compassion. And so you'll hear different kinds of things in here tonight. If you're familiar with one of those faces, you're actually going to meet all of them together in one form tonight. And the other note is, he loves using me as an example, but he refers to me as Seth, kind of like a spiritual name, Seth Adams. So when he does that, that's just, he'll say, Seth would like, you know, blah, 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 and that's me. And now we're all set, so. And this is the Ascended Master Jehudi speaking. I would like for you to join me in a meditation so that we can open up and create a space together in order to discuss this topic this evening. Please ensure that you are relaxed in your body. Notice where there is tension, and some tension can easily be released, and do so where it is appropriate. Gently scan your body for where you're holding tension and evaluate, can I let this go right now? And do so if the answer is yes. Let your breathing be relaxed and easy. Now, as you exhale, begin sending cords from your root chakra and the bottoms of your feet into the earth, slowly heading for the center of the earth. This is for grounding. These cords go down and down, headed for the center of the earth. On your inhales, begin inhaling the energy of the earth through these cords into your body, and cultivate a receptive mode. This energy of the earth is a great tool for you in every way, at all times, in all circumstances, and yet regarding the topic that we will be discussing this evening, this is in fact critical, as you will see regarding the human relationship with the earth that has been decultivated for the last 6,000 years. As you breathe this energy into this energy from the earth into your body, notice its quality. Notice its speed, what kind of flavor it has. It should calm you and bring you into your body so that mind has little to do. As you listen to the voice of this channel, you will be hearing words that comprise a teaching. And yet I wish that you remain connected to the earth in this way, so that these words are a part of the teaching, with the vibration being a very important part. So I wish that you be receptive to being here with me, with us together. The level of consciousness that goes with the job title, Ascended Master, is in one way, through one lens, extra human. And yet, Ascended Masters come through channels in order to offer the opportunity for others to adjust to the frequency, to adjust to this level of consciousness and the vibration. If you find yourself relaxed in listening to my voice through this channel, go with it. If you find you need to drift off into a dreamlike state, allow it gently. If this happens, it is because you are processing something and you need to take this information in without being fully conscious. You will benefit from this teaching, so please honor what your body, mind, heart, and field are urged to do. Continue with these connections to the earth as we continue speaking. The topic this evening is titled Conscious Communion Healing Sex. It's a rather provocative title, and yet so many people are ready to get to the bottom of this history of human sexuality that has been shaped and tailored for very specific ends over the last approximately 6,000 years on Earth during the social, political, religious systems that you might call patriarchy. I'd like to give you some context for this reality on Earth, and then move into how and why you can move through these things. You can release what is in your field, what is carried in your body as a result, about sexuality from all of these millennia. As Seth explained to you before the channel opened, your soul is experiencing many lives on the Earth timeline simultaneously. You think of these as past lives because you are conditioned to live through the lens of time, tied to time. This is a normal human way of living. Yet now, as all life on Earth, hurtles through space-time toward the end of the Mayan calendar, the veil between dimensions has been said to be parting, and yet I wish to point out it is in fact dissolving before your eyes. Parting implies that you can see a sliver and then it grows and you can manage your view of the new reality. What is actually happening is a better image reflected by this veil dissolving. Emotions, memories, passions, fears that are carried in many of your soul's lives are becoming apparent to you now. From the soul's perspective, it happens all at once, and you are therefore, in one way, becoming more connected to soul. Many times it can look like emergent crises, things from the past that you did not know how to deal with now simply must be dealt with. It can also be that something you perceive you have dealt with decades ago has now come up and cannot be ignored, and you said, I already did this, didn't I? And yes, you did it, but your consciousness level now, because the veil is dissolving, you are now ready to work with deeper layers of all of these issues that come up for you. This is an important juncture in the history of life on Earth. You are now capable of becoming conscious of how it is that you as individuals and a collective have created all of your experiences, because you see, the point of the Mayan calendar is to track the evolution of consciousness. That is its sole purpose. All interpretive materials you encounter are at best conjecture. Nobody knows what, quote-unquote, will happen in 2012. It is not real yet. There is no future until you make choices and inhabit the results. The evolution of consciousness requires that you become conscious of yourself as a divine, powerful, creative being. And in fact, you have always been so, but throughout history, throughout all these lives lived along the Earth timeline, you have perceived yourself as powerless because things happen to you. This is a central tenet to the teaching about healing, sex, and sexual history on Earth. Because in order to move beyond whatever has happened to you, you must choose to cease identifying as a victim of it and begin to own it as your creation. As a soul, which is a portion of all that is, or the divine intelligence, you have come here to learn lessons, not like you need to be in school with a judging teacher waiting to rap your knuckles or something like this. But you come to learn what it is to be human, what it takes, what it requires, what it means to make choices in a human life. All political systems that you fit within, generally speaking, will not honor your true nature as a divine creative being. You are now able to wake up to the fact that you have created all of your reality, and so you must unwind and untangle from all of these systems. So we speak about the patriarchy. Seth observes that in his women's study class in college 20 years ago, the patriarchy is essentially a four-letter word. And yet it is simply a reality of life on Earth at present. I will give you a brief overview of why it has occurred, and tomorrow night in the other event, Return of the Goddess, we will explore this in deep detail. Your relationship with the goddess has ended thus far in divorce, as you felt you were better than other beings. You didn't understand why you still had to suffer as these other beings did. Therefore, you decided to elevate the masculine in order to be more action-oriented, to feel more in control of your lives, and therefore to be able to protect yourself, fashioning the world as your mind would have it. This is the goal of the patriarchy. You are now, as a collective and many individuals, reeling from the effects of suppressed and oppressed and misunderstood sexuality over all these years in the patriarchy, and this is our focus today. And yet you must understand that the diminishment of the feminine, which accompanies the patriarchy, is actually a result of the elevation of the masculine. This is a critical point for you. Humans are deeply writhing in emotional pain about the diminishment of the feminine, and writhing in pain or being angry, anger always covers over pain, will not help you move through it. So if you understand this truth, that the elevation of the masculine was chosen by all that is, which is you, as a lens to live through in order to see what would happen. Could we protect ourselves more than if we felt willingly surrendered to the forces of nature, the forces of the earth? Could we fashion a world in which we could remove suffering from our lives? This is a critical and important part of the evolution of all that is, and therefore humanity, and all life on Earth. And yet you feel deeply the instances. You remember acutely, with sharp pains, instances of the diminishment of the feminine. As long as you are angry, you cannot get to the pain at the source of these memories. So I invite you to work with the part of you that may have anger. Perhaps you do not have anger. But if there is a part that has anger, understand this is one or several parts of you, but it is not you. I'm inviting you to not identify, to choose to not identify with this. I want you to take in this truth that the diminishment of the feminine is in fact an automatic result of the elevation of the masculine. Feminine energy is, masculine energy does. And so whenever there is an imbalance, very clearly one seeks to do something about the other while the other is trying to be. This is essentially the history of life on Earth, the history of humans. And where you are now is that you are able to remember clearly that each being, in fact, possesses masculine and feminine energy in some proportion. So you are ready to come out of the training of what a woman is supposed to be like, and what a woman is supposed to think and feel and do, what a man is supposed to think and feel and do, what a good woman is, what a good man is. You are ready to come out of this, and yet you in fact cannot do so as long as you are angry about the cultural inheritance you have received about these roles. This leads us directly into sexuality, as we will get in a moment. because as you have, in fact, become confused about your true nature, because there are two kinds of human bodies, now you can see the truth. Individuals, in fact, understand I have masculine and feminine within me. Individuals understand this. Humans are not unsophisticated, unaware, checked out, blank animals, automatons, robots. Humans are actually very clever, and humans possess self-awareness and feel what they're feeling and have awareness of this on many levels. And yet it is the cultural teaching that seeks to shape who you think you are that we are addressing here. So each person in this room could say, well, yes, that makes total sense to me. I have always known that every being has masculine within and feminine within. And yet the cultural teaching has hurt every single one of you over these millennia. What does a good man do? A good man does. A good man acts. A good man provides. A good man directs and controls. What does a good woman do? A good woman takes direction and supports whatever man she might be around. Now, this is not in play in your life, and yet you have been shaped by this. Be clear that I see each of you in this room and that you do not live like this. I see this. But I am reaching down into your karmic histories, and I am presenting the opportunity for parts of you that have not seen the light of day in thousands of years to vibrate with this truth teaching that I offer you today. And so as I say these things, I acknowledge these parts of you that have not felt they could breathe freely, be seen, come out, enjoy the light of day, and be a part of you on a daily basis. And what is it that a good woman does? She takes good direction. She waits to see what the plan is from the man, and she supports it. You have been told this, that this is an appropriate model. You have been taught this. This is woven into many of your earth religions. This is woven into your history, the way that, you know, the people who won the wars tell the stories. All of these things are woven into the cultural mind so that property can be passed through male lines. The patriarchy had to have a goal, and this is the single goal. The diminishment of natural sexuality, the diminishment of the feminine, the divorce from the goddess, the treatment of women that has unfolded over the last 6,000 years, as well as the treatment of men who are feminine, the treatment of animals, the treatment of the environment, all of these things are sourced in this one idea. Property must be handed down through male lines. It establishes a power base that is perpetuated over time. In order for a man to know who his children are, because the natural biological imperative of a woman's endocrine system, of her physiology, may have her having multiple partners in a relatively brief period of time. If she is in touch with her body, in touch with her sexual nature, she may seek multiple partners in order to give her offspring the best chance. You know this from your junior high biology books. So in order that a man know who his children are, her natural sexuality must be controlled. Yes. This is the purpose of marriage as it exists in your Western cultures today. The subtitle of this evening you are experiencing in Seth's mind also almost became ending patriarchal sex. Because that is what we're talking about. Because of the way that a woman is supposed to behave, and the ways that a man is supposed to behave, and because of the institution of marriage, which is set up to ensure property is passed in a very particular way through a very particular sort of process. Natural sexuality has been oppressed and suppressed on your planet. Suppression and oppression leads to distorted expression. Look at the parts of you that are observing your listening to this teaching. If there are parts that react, if there are parts that have opinions, if there are parts that want to stir in your seat because you have something to say, I want you, the grounded, centered part with whom I have been interacting thus far in our evening, since you all got grounded earlier, I want you to observe these parts. And I want you to observe, do they have anxiety? Are they angry? Are they wanting to tell a story of their history, of your history, or someone in your life close to you who has experienced suppression and or distorted expression of sexuality? And I want you to keep in mind this chain of truth I have just offered you. The patriarchy exists to attempt to protect yourselves, to control the world you live in. And that leads to its goal of passing property down in a very specific way so that power can be stabilized. And then that leads to this issue of marriage and what a man is supposed to be like and what a woman is supposed to be like. Parts of you that may have anxiety or anger are in fact needing leadership within you. So I invite you to take this truth in and provide them that leadership by helping them understand the truth of why the situation has unfolded on Earth for the collective and in your lives. As I said earlier, you are all reeling from the effects of these situations, from the emotional debris, the beliefs attached to emotions in your energy fields and in your bodies over these millennia. You have, in other words, all had sex in ways that does not feel right. You have all joined together at least some of the time in all of these lives where it does not feel right to you, or it is not what you want, or it is not why you want, or what, or when, or how, or with whom. And now I remind you of these cords you have into the earth. I wish that you renew your attention on these cords into the earth and breathing the energy of the earth into your body. This is a serious topic, and I wish that you remain with me and grounded so that you may take it in. Take this in, what I'm offering you. In particular marriages, in particular relationships that have a sexual component, it is, of course, not true in this present day that there is always a role that must be performed by a man and by a woman. Of course this is not true. Humans are complex, multidimensional beings. Humans are creative. Humans express their feelings and their inspiration and their love in many, many ways. But if you are experiencing, in some way, expressions of sexuality that do not work for you, I wish that you see how it is related to the bigger picture of human life on Earth shaped by patriarchal ways of thinking and being. Again, you are each dealing with this history. It is a macrocosmic issue that every human has experienced in a microcosmic way. One way to speak about this is that when one person hurts another person with or through sexuality, each person involved in this energetic karmic transaction is in fact acting out the collective pain, imbalance, and disturbance, and divorce from the goddess within. The elevation of the masculine over the feminine. Humans are so angry about, for example, rape, that it is sometimes difficult to get to the pain behind it. Because somebody should do something to stop this violence. And we feel that we need to stop this violence. What happens is, in our attempt to protect ourselves once this has happened, and in our attempts to protect our loved ones once this has happened, it is easy for humans to take on an attitude of anger in all its forms, in any of its forms. In addition to the feelings about these situations, I'd want you to look at it as acting out the collective imbalance between masculine and feminine. Every single person who has experienced this from one side or the other, whether in making a choice that has led to this expression or in feeling blindsided by the choice of another in this sort of expression, every single human is acting this out. In this first portion of our conversation this evening, we are focusing on this darker sort of history. Before we come to the conscious communion part of the story, the healing sex part of the story. Healing sex could be healing sexual history, healing sexual nature, recovering natural sexuality, which is healing. All of these phrases you could put in there for that. And yet it is also healing sex. Healing the topic of sex within your minds and hearts and bodies. There is not a person on the earth who is not aware of somebody else who has been hurt in this way. This channel's mind has been blown by statistics repeatedly. How many young women experience some form of this violence? And then, in general, how many women of any age experience this sort of experience? You hear this in the news. You have a friend. You have a mother. You have a daughter. You have a cousin. You have a teacher, you have a colleague, you have a grandmother who has experienced this. This extreme acting out of the divorce from the goddess. I wish to backtrack for a moment to paint this picture in a new light. This collective experience of sexual violence. There is something else important to explore in it, so we wish to backtrack. When you said as a collective, when you said as goddess and god and all that is, as the divine intelligence and as a species, we will control our world and we will fashion it in a way that we will ensure our own protection. When you did this was in fact in part a response to pain from having suffered at what looked like the hands of nature, whom you had always known was your mother. Look at these thumbs we have. Look at these minds. Look at these complex codes of linguistic information we can exchange easily, readily. We are not like these other animals. We do not deserve to suffer. We are not like these plants who do suffer, who are cut down, who die, who get diseases. We do not deserve to experience our mother unleashing these terrible weather events that rob us of our food, that force us to move great distances to find more food, that wash our homes away, that swallow our homes in cracks in the earth. This is not what we deserve. We will protect ourselves. This is, in fact, an adolescent anger response. This is, in fact, a righteously indignant response. And so the patriarchy itself is a result of anger that is sourced in pain. You have not understood in any way how to deal with this pain. How could our mother hurt us? How could the earth be inhospitable? How could we not be able to create the food that we need in this place that we love? How is it that we can consistently feed 10 of us but not the 18 who live here? What has our mother thought of us that this is how she treats us? And the mother is no longer considered a safe protector. And so this divorce came about, but it is the divorce in the mind of a 13-year-old. Think of yourself as an adolescent. Think of adolescents you know. The rebellion that comes. They do not have all the facts. They are reacting to the emotion of something. But they do not have all the facts. And now, here with me, you have the opportunity to gain some of these facts that you, as a collective, have lost. Have not had. All these truths we have been speaking about are the facts that you have been lacking. The why. These layers of why, this chain of why the patriarchy has come about. Your mother simply loves you. Your mother is the earth. While you are embodied as a human, your physical body is essentially an extension of the earth itself. And your soul, while anchored in this physical body, functions as an extension of the soul of the earth. So as we speak tonight about conscious communion, healing sex, we point to a greater opportunity, which is healing your relationship with the earth itself, with yourselves as extensions of this earth. And this is, in fact, healing the idea that you do not deserve to suffer. This is not to say that you do deserve to suffer. It's to say that pain and suffering are parts of life. And so you must adapt to this reality, this truth. Or you should say, if you wish to be healthy and happy and productive and offer the gifts that your soul has embodied to offer, then you need to accept responsibility for having created what this situation has brought. You have learned what it is to divorce yourself from your mother, to essentially leave home, camp out in the backyard, and refuse to let her feed you. And refuse to let her ask you how you are and hold you and perhaps comfort you when you need loving support from your mother. The earth is here not as humanity's enemy, but as the teacher who holds space with love for what it takes to live human lives. And so Gaia is, in fact, a primary teacher for all humans as she offers herself to you. And she doesn't even ask that you do anything. She asks that you learn how to love yourselves and thereby each other. Continue breathing in this energy of the earth, opening to allow this energy into your body. Let us speak about what patriarchal sex is. Patriarchal sex is when a man ejaculates his semen into the woman he essentially owns in order to create male offspring to pass his property, money, power, status, prestige, and connections to. And then when there are girl children, well, yes, we'll deal with that. They are necessary, too, because other men need women, and these will grow up. As I have said, you are all reeling in pain from the results of this way of being. Even if you do not subscribe to an earth religion at this time, you were probably raised in one. You were probably raised in a monotheistic religion that has a very specific idea of a male god, and what that god wants of men and wants of women, what that god has instructed humans to do in order to hold society together, what a man is supposed to do for his family, what a woman is supposed to do for her family, her children, her man. And this patriarchal sex, creating children to perpetuate the system, that is what culture shapers over the last 6,000 years have intended to bring you to think you should do. And as I tell you, you have lived many lives as men and many lives as women along the Earth timeline. You have, in fact, done this because in order to be successful within your cultural contexts, you have had to do this. When you have been a man over the last 6,000 years in any of these cultures, you have been confronted with being told what it is to respect a woman. And you have been confronted with the choice, which has not often felt like a choice, to treat her in a certain way according to the social context. And in some ways, you have not felt good about this. In some instances, this has been very difficult for you to choose to do. In some lives, some of you have been confronted with the reality of revealing a transgression of the social contract by the woman who lives in your home, your wife, and watched her be punished by the community at large for doing something outside the norm of patriarchy or patriarchal sex. This whole system that aims to create boys, and of course girls if they happen, but to create boys to pass power to. And when you have been men, you have not been taught that whatever you are feeling, whatever you are thinking, wherever your attention is at a given time, when you commune with a woman sexually, you put that energy in her body. Wherever your mind is, wherever your attention is, that is what you offer her in that moment. If a man has taken on the idea of what a man is supposed to do and be, he is very active, he is doing, he works hard, he stands up for himself, for his family. He is the energy of masculine. And this energy has been over time, even when loving, put into women all over the globe in ways that are hurtful. I am not even speaking about violence. I'm not even speaking about violence. I'm speaking about any time humans couple. Whatever is going on with the man can be put into the woman. Now, when conscious, this is divinity manifest. And yet, in this system, as women have in some ways become viewed as property, even livestock for the production of appropriate males to pass power to. This has not been conscious. The woman is not seen as an equal, and therefore, what the man does is what the man does. The choice of the man is what matters, is what the system seeks to teach you, and to frighten you into believing. Society cannot be held together if the woman does not do what the man says, and if the man is not certain and definitive and clear about what he wants. So when you have been men, you have put energy into women that you do not feel good about, whether consciously or unconsciously. You know in your hearts that women are not cattle, livestock. And yet there is sometimes, in many lives you have lived across the earth timeline as men, where you cannot treat a woman in other ways and be seen to be doing it. There is a certain idea of respecting a woman which has come into play, but it is all about supporting this patriarchal agenda of passing property through male lines. So, if you have been raised in one of these religions, you will be aware that there is a teaching in each one about what it means to respect a woman, to love a woman. And yet, it is to respect and love a woman if she is willing to remain in this very limited role. So you might say, well, the religion I was raised in didn't do that to women. And it did. It was to make this unnatural teaching, this unnatural political, social requirement, more palatable by telling you that it is respect. Now, as a man, in any life, given the nature of yourselves as energetic beings, carrying things across time within your system. Let us focus on this present moment of the year 2011 if you are a man. You will have in this life encountered other beings, other humans, whether men or women, that you have in other lives put energy into that you do not feel good about. And it has created karma between you, a perception of energetic credit and debt. And you have been confronted with the opportunity to do something different. And you are living in 2011, which is a time that has been formed for 40 years by the feminist perspective of demanding equality for women. And longer for other movements, such as the civil rights movement, demanding equality for others who have different skin colors. So you now have been shaped by these opportunities. For some men, it has been confusing. Because here is this person I'm having a relationship with, or I may have a relationship with, I could. And we seem, perhaps, to be heading in that direction. And there is the opportunity to be present to what needs to happen now. And this energetic credit and debt of karma, the perception of imbalance between the two beings, it has, in some ways, at some times, been difficult to establish a sexual relationship together. Other than the general getting to know you, perhaps a little awkward, adjusting to your rhythm and your body and your needs and your likes. Beyond that, there have been times when you have encountered the unconscious, probably, perhaps conscious, but probably unconscious, recognition that something bigger is happening here, and that you have an opportunity to do something that is very important with this person. When you have been a woman on Earth over the last 6,000 years, you have been confronted with the choice to conform to what these social systems tell you you are to do if you are to succeed, which for a woman in many times has meant surviving, at least in terms of staying in society and being provided for. And you have been taught through these religions and these social conventions that you are to do what you can for this man that you are with. And you have not always felt that you have the right to say no to how communion occurs, or when, or why, or when, how often. Each of you has been responding to the cultural teachings, the cultural edicts of what is supposed to be happening. Again, we're still in the phase of talking about the history, the hows and whys of this history. And so there has been a tremendous amount of energy put into you when you are a woman that has not been conscious, unless you are what might be termed lucky, though of course there's no such thing as luck, and you are with a man who respects you in a real way, who takes responsibility for the feelings he has, and does not put into you what should not be in your space, in your field. But when you have experienced this, it is again acting out, it is again experiencing, manifesting the collective imbalance between these issues, between the masculine and feminine, the collective misunderstanding about what should be happening, the collective pain about trying to define what natural sexuality is while overlooking what it truly is. And so you have also met, as a woman, you have also met individuals who have in the past put energy into you, and neither of you has felt okay about it. Now, leaving that where that is, in these current present-day relationships, everyone, all the time, has the option of being fully present to what is happening, to what each individual is feeling, and to how communion occurs. Each and every person has the opportunity to become present and to remain present. One of the keys to this entire discussion for you today is to come back to the energies you hold in your body that are manifest from your field, your energetic field, and how that relates to this entire journey across time that your soul is living as humans along the Earth timeline. In order that you become conscious to what is happening right now, you will experience rising to the surface of emotions of situations from the past. All of your difficult, unhappy, unfulfilling, inappropriate experiences having to do with sexuality in this life are echoes of what is happening in all of your soul's lives. It is holographic. It is multidimensional. This life is a microcosm of the macrocosm of the soul's entire journey as you seek to figure out what it means to live life on Earth as a human. To be in one kind of body or the other, given that there are two kinds, to go back and forth between these two bodies, and in these different social contexts across time along the timeline. Well, okay, I'm going to be a man in 1320s Denmark. I'm going to be a woman in 1750s Central Africa. I'm going to be a man in 230 China. In these different cultural contexts, what does it mean to be the right sort of man fitting into this social convention, this social context? What does it mean to be the right sort of woman? So in order to be present, you must encounter all of these histories. Now, every time that you have communed with others in various lives has not left a mark on you energetically. Of course not. But there are seminal events in the lives, you might say past lives, the soul's other lives for each of you that have been definitive when it comes to sexuality. And they have been repeated in this life in some way. When you open to another sexually, This happens on a very deep level. Your energy field becomes open if you open. If you instead bring sex of a genital nature to others, you may not open. And yet this other person may actually open. And so you can see how this can be a minefield if we are not conscious about what is happening. Conscious communion, healing sex, this topic today. What you will take away from this is an invitation from me to become conscious of your history on all levels. To look at your sexual self and how you operate that part of your life with others and with yourself. How you in general operate this part of your life. And I want you to open to understanding your history in this context. And I want you to understand specific events in this life, in fact, reflect events from other lives as well. There are echoes across time. Because you, as all that is, as a portion of the divine intelligence, has in your forgetting your true nature as a powerful being, come here to experience what it is to be human. And this is a part of the human game, learning what it is to be human, learning to navigate sexuality with consciousness. I take this opportunity now to remind you of these cords you have had into the earth. And I wish that you breathe the energy of the earth into your body once again for a moment before I continue. Let it fill your body, and on your exhales you can send it back down, or you can just keep it. Come back to being grounded through this method. Come back to center in this way. At this time, I would like to open to questions about the material that I have shared with you thus far. If there is anything that is perhaps not clear or that has stirred a thought, an idea, a feeling, that has stirred wisdom or confusion, tension, dissonance, harmony. If you do have something to say, please simply say, yes, I would like to ask a question or offer a comment, and I will engage with you at that time.
Yes, I would like to ask a question.
Yes, please proceed.
So, if all lifetimes are happening simultaneously, is it possible to go into other lifetimes, in a sense, and heal things that we might think of as past events from this lifetime's perspective?
Yes. This is a wonderful question. Thank you. Is that the complete question?
Yes.
Thank you. The point of focus is the embodied life you are living now. Yet, when you heal something in your field now, it does heal your field across time. Now, from the standpoint of Earth history, an event has happened, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, the soul's learning mission is front and center through your consciousness embodied in this form now in this life. So the soul is observing the effect of choices in all these different lives. And as you, one individual among these thousands of lives, these thousands of individuals spread out along the Earth timeline, these different men and women with different names and skin colors and cultures, the soul learns from each. So if you have consciousness of something that has happened in another life, even at the level of being clear that the major events of this life are in some ways repeats and echoes of other lives, even simply on that level, without something we might call a past life memory or recall, healing it within your present day consciousness heals soul across time. But yes, an event has happened. You see? But what is happening is the soul is learning through the assignation of meaning. This event happened to me, and this is the only logical explanation I can come up with, and this is the belief I carry forward about why this has happened. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
Yes. The event in another portion of the timeline occurs. Yet from the soul's perspective, the learning happens outside time, and all can be corrected. All of these misguided beliefs. Did this person hurt you because you deserved to be hurt? Because you are not worthy of love? You are not safe? All of these kinds of beliefs. Or did this person hurt you because there is a contract in play and you are learning about being hurt and this person is learning about hurting? When you shift your perspective in the ways that I invite you and hope that you do, you see the bigger view of your creation. So yes, heal it now within this manifested consciousness that is you. And you heal across time, though events have happened, the meaning, which is to say the karma, the beliefs about it, is healed. You see.
Thank you.
You are welcome. It is a wonderful question, specifically because you will speak about past lives, and you will understand, you know, I said 1320s Denmark, 1750 Africa, all these things. And you have this conception, because you are tied to time, you perceive your soul must be tied to time. This is natural. Of course it is. This is seeing it through your human eyes and your clever minds, and this is wonderful. And yet, zooming out to see the truth of it is that it is actually the real business is actually unfolding outside time. And that is the soul's perception of what it is that is happening. Yes. So, in fact, I receive this question on a frequent basis. Yes. So thank you for bringing that one to us today. Are there other questions?
Yes,
please go ahead.
I'm confused about something.
Yes.
What if the patriarchal style you're talking about in this time in our culture is not about subordination, it's not about domination,
mm-hmm.
but it's about creating the parity of also action, success, control, and the expectation that you become the same thing.
Yes, thank you. That is where you are now. And that is where many individuals are seeking to be and are creating themselves to be. My primary focus in this conversation thus far has been on the history that is lodged in your fields. But thank you for saying that. It is important to acknowledge that many individuals, and even individuals banding together in groups, choose to come out of it. But as you hear about things such as 2012, and that social systems must collapse, I wish that you see how important it is to allow this one to collapse in the way you have just mentioned. That it is not that in the heart of every man is a pernicious control, domination, not like this at all. But you are coming out of such confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Does that answer work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And are there other questions before we proceed? Yes, please.
Are there societies on the planet who are more advanced in this way than others?
Well, you call them primitive. Yes, and you call them primitive. This is a wonderful question. This takes us into the next phase. Yes. So, my answer to you will begin the next phase of this discussion. So, being connected to the earth, whether you think of her as your mother or not, but being connected to the earth is an automatic right environment for honoring the feminine. Automatically. This teaches you to honor the feminine. When you honor the feminine, you remain in your bodies. You listen to the wisdom of your bodies. You hear the messages of your bodies. And when you are connected to the earth and in your bodies and hearing these messages, you hear the messages of the natural world around you. You do not discount the input of the natural world, including your bodies and nature and animals, as not as important as your goal-oriented plans you have devised. So there are some of these cultures, and they function in the collective karma of life on Earth to make sure that there is always a reminder that it is possible to live in connection with the Earth. They do not know how to devalue the feminine by elevating the masculine. Until, of course, McDonald's shows up. And that culture, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, until that culture is introduced through commercial means with the idea that it is offering them progress. Nature has always been perceived to be feminine because it cannot be controlled. And the natural feminine is. So essentially in your world, everything that cannot be controlled or that resists control is feminine. Therefore your bodies as extensions of the earth, of the weather, the cycles of the earth, are all feminine. They are. They develop their own natural rhythms. What you have been taught to do is think through everything. And the mind is a marvelous tool. As I have said several times, humans are clever. And yet mind, without the rest, cannot take you to inhabit yourselves as divine beings. Ideas cannot evolve you. You cannot evolve through ideas. You can get more clever, you can get more sophisticated, you can get more technologically advanced, but you cannot evolve as beings. And where you are now is at this tipping point of mind having been emphasized, the masculine having been emphasized. So these cultures, which are called primitive, which in answer to this individual's question, yes, there are cultures who are more advanced by refusing to advance in the mind-oriented way. The mind can do math, can strategize, can plan, can execute logistics, can make sure that one shows up on time. The mind can spell and organize, but the rest of the being cannot be left out. So taking us directly back to the topic of sexual expression, how much of human sexual life has been determined by idea? The channel Seth has this phrase in his mind frequently, this on paper. Somebody sounds good. Somebody seems genuine. Somebody seems like the right kind of person to be around, to be in relationship with in some way. And yet, your body might tell you this person should be avoided. But you have been trained not to listen to your body. Many of you have overcome this conditioning, and I applaud this. And yet many humans have been trained that somebody seems good according to the rules of mind, on paper. And yet sensory input from the body the closing or the constriction or clouding over of energy centers in the body as a means of protection that naturally occurs might happen when you encounter somebody who looks good on paper, who seems genuine, whom you believe is genuine, who is kind, but this person, if your body says is not the right person for you, is not the right person. So again, 6,000 years of patriarchal sex, you have married people who are not right for you, and you have felt the effects in your body. You have felt yourself close down because you cannot open to that person as an energetic being. And yet here we have this business of procreation. I am supposed to provide you with children to work this farm. And my parents have decided that you are to marry me. So here we are. Transaction completed. Now I shall provide you with as many boys as I can. Though, of course, I cannot control it, I will seek to provide you boys. And this will help our family prosper. And you will be happy. And you will be an acceptable member of this kind of culture because I have given you boys. And everything can work fine because I have given you boys. The karmic contracts involved in all these situations are very specific. So nothing is random, and this pain is not for nothing. But you have been learning about the true nature of your sexual selves. All of you have the experience of chemistry, what is typically in human circles called chemistry with others. A kind of chemical, hormonal, energetic, juicy response to another human being. And sometimes you think, oh yes, well, that happens because this person is attractive to me in these ways. And yet the truth of it is, your energy field, and therefore your biology, is responding or vibing on the energy field and therefore physiological form of this other person. It seems a no-brainer to tell you only to be with people that you open to naturally. And probably in a facility called the Sanctuary, where all of sorts of healing work takes place, and probably where the people who are coming to hear somebody who says, I channel an ascended master, you probably are already here at this stage of life. And yet again, this history is in some ways carried in your bodies, in your fields. This history over many, many lives, living as a good little member of this religious kind of world, this social kind of context. My parents told me to marry you. They required it. I didn't have a choice. And I'm supposed to give you babies and take care of them and take care of you and feed you. And so where you are now is in becoming conscious in this moment, you will become clear about what you are carrying that is painful from the past. So I wish to leave you with certain tools that you may use to release this history across time. There are many sorts of affirmations you can do to do this, and I wish to give you some ideas. The key elements of these affirmations include acknowledgement of the truth that it has happened and why it has happened, accepting the responsibility for having created it as a divine being creating experiences to learn what it is to be human, releasing the self of guilt for having created pain for the self, and releasing others for having hurt you. And you do all of this across time. It is very useful, and this channel, Seth, has had marvelous results working with individuals using phrasing such as, I forgive all others across time for all of the dynamics that they have participated in with me as we have learned how to consciously commune with each other in all these different ways across time. I acknowledge that there have been missteps and there has been confusion. I accept the teachings. I now know everything I can possibly have learned through that way of being, and I choose to be conscious going forward. Something like this. Make it your own. But include the ideas across time. Include the forgiveness, the release. Include that I accept responsibility for my creation, as painful as it is to do so. I'm sending you all away with homework, if this resonates with you in any way. For some humans, conscious sexuality is very difficult because of this history. For others, it is a welcome relief immediately to have the opportunity to experience this. In many ways, humans have perceived yourselves, themselves, to be products of your history. And so if there was an unwanted sexual experience in youth or as an adult later, this willingness to be present and conscious can be dampened because of the fear that something would happen again. What I'm speaking about at the root is about you being open as an energetic being to meet other energetic beings. The truth is that sexual communion is a form of communication that no other form of communication can cover, can replace, or substitute for. And so when you have had a negative experience and you close yourself down, you cannot receive this communication from these other slivers of divinity, these other portions of the divine intelligence, other souls who have these agreements with you. Your intuition is related to what you might call gut instinct. It is a way of knowing something that you cannot explain. That instinct, and therefore intuition, is informed by your senses. And I wish to speak about the sense of smell here. When I spoke about somebody who looks good on paper, and who seems like an appropriate sort of person to be with, there is an issue of, but if that person does not smell right, that you do not want to be with that person. You will not open your energy pathways, your energy centers, your chakras, your heart, your body will not open to this other. So then if you are under contractual obligation to have sexual intercourse with this person, where does that leave you? Shut down. Wishing to avoid it. Wishing you did not have to do this. And many of you have over time, or in time, begun to refuse. And this has led to other problems. So I wish that all of you assert with your divine power, I have learned all that I can possibly learn about having the kinds of sex I do not want to have. I have learned all that I can possibly learn from not being conscious in this part of life, in not being fully aware of everything to do with this part of life. I have learned all there is to learn, and now I am ready to, in every way, at all times, choose conscious awareness. Asserting this is an act of divine power. Choosing to be conscious. And I repeat to you, when you do so, you will encounter the energetic and emotional debris in your field from the past. The reasons you believe you should not trust, should not open, should not communicate, should not touch another. should not express interest, attraction, desire, love for another. These affirmations that I have been speaking about and giving you examples of can be tailored to your specific experience. The important elements I have named, but also to say that I choose conscious awareness of all of these issues. The idea of what communion is supposed to be like no longer serves you as a collective. And as you are now, you individuals in this room and those hearing this teaching are now conscious, it is a matter of cleaning up history, releasing across time all other souls from the blame of how they have treated us, releasing us, ourselves, from the guilt of what we have chosen to do, and perhaps the shame of having experienced something terrible that we did not consciously choose to do. Releasing ourselves and all others across time from all shame and guilt that have to do with how we have been learning about being sexual beings. Learning from each other. Attempting to figure out the right, healthy, integrity-based, loving ways to be with each other in communion as divine beings manifest as humans. Yes, please.
My sense is that there are souls on the planet who have been the product of conscious union.
Yes.
And that they exist.
Oh, yes. Is that the?
I guess I. Is that a fact?
Yes, it is a fact. Yes, because each of you has free will, and many of you have already unplugged from this cultural dynamic. And you have said, "I love this person, and I will treat this person in conscious ways. I will always respond to his or her needs. I will always be, or seek to be, or ensure that I am on the same page with this person before I meet him or her sexually." And so, yes, there are these people. And there are more and more as time goes by, and people make these choices. Again, my point is to, or my intention, is to root out this history. But yes, you are correct. Please allow that to inspire you. It is worthy of inspiration, being inspired.
I have a question.
Yes.
Pertaining to what you were talking about prior, it was about the debris you said that was going to rise up.
Yes.
In this acknowledgement.
Yes.
So are we in these affirmations clearing that debris?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, I forgive myself across time for putting myself in situations that have caused me pain. That is useful for a situation where, for example, a person said, "Oh, I think it would be fun to go to this party," and ended up having an unwelcome advance made. Right? The choice was to go to the party, and that seems to have led to this situation. So yes, that would be debris. The belief, I shouldn't go out, I shouldn't open to people, I shouldn't drink, I shouldn't be at a party, all this kind of thing. And yes, the belief is the debris, and the closedness is the debris. So yes, I forgive all others across time for having treated me in any way that was hurtful to me. And that addresses rapes. That addresses unconscious sexuality. That addresses all kinds of things. So yes, that clears the debris when you do it and you actually release the things, because you have accepted the truth of why you have created it, which is to learn about yourself as a sexual being and how to communicate with others. You see, this issue about these two kinds of bodies is an incredibly important one for this conversation. Because as this elevation of the masculine and diminishment of the feminine unfolded, it has seemed that you are as beings defined by the bodies you happen to have. And yet, your true nature possesses masculine and feminine energies. And so, you are each, and you need to meet each in others. And so there is a perception, number one, that you are like your body, or that you are your body. Not so much now. 2011, many people were spiritually sophisticated. And it is growing ever more. It is spreading more and more that people are waking up to these ideas, these truths, about your true nature. And yet over this history, it has not been so. Men are men. Women are women. This is what sex looks like. And these are our little boys who grow up and take over the business. Oh, and yes, the little girls will marry off for political advantage or economic security. It has seemed that it is important that you have these two kinds of bodies, but it has been misunderstood. You actually do need others. You actually do need to explore this communication, this communion with others. And so, spiritually, you are complete within yourself. You are a portion of all that is. And yet, physically, you have one of two kinds of bodies, in most cases. And so you have needed each other, and yet the terms have often been painful. Then you carry the debris. Then you carry the guilt. I shouldn't do this. I should not have done this. This person should not treat me this way. This should not happen. And so, yes, clearing out your fields is the way to get present. And these affirmations do that. These affirmations are acts of divine power. And they heal the perception that something has happened to you. I take responsibility for all of my actions, behaviors, experiences, beliefs, and attitudes when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to sexual expression. I take responsibility for all of this. I release others from the perception they have hurt me, understanding that they are portions of all that is, who are learning with me. This brings up an important point. I'm going to mention the kinds of words that are ascribed to those, or the kind of word that is ascribed to those who commit sexual violence, and that is as a perpetrator. And then the person who receives the violence is a victim. This is the human eyes, social justice, right? Human justice way of looking at this. And yet, as this divine being that has set out to learn what it is to be human, this is learning through free will. This is learning through acting upon others and being acted upon. This is how the free will game works. I have the right to make any choice, and then I must deal karmically with the results of my choices, but I have the right to do anything, meaning I can simply go out and make a choice, and I can do something. When people have been hurt, you have this perpetrator-victim thing. The perpetrator is evil, and the victim is helpless and defenseless. The victim is victimized, and the perpetrator is terrible. Please upgrade your understanding of what is actually happening when sexual violence occurs. There are souls in agreement to participate together in learning about the right use of sexual energy, about respect, about love. That is what is happening with a rape. Individual karma, individual contracts, get specific and matter. And yet, as a category, the contracts about this have to do with learning about these themes. Present-day conceptions of karma on Earth can sometimes include the idea that if something terrible happens to you, you must have done the same to someone else in the past. And this is not true. Please shed this. How it works is, there are individual souls with agreements to help each other, to support each other, because all these souls can do is love each other. To support each other in learning what they came here to learn. what does it mean to be a human? And somebody, or these two souls, let us say, let's pick randomly two souls, and they say, I recognize you as a portion of all that is, and you recognize me in that way too. I see that you are setting out to learn about trust and openness, and I am setting out to learn about the right use of will. And in your conditioning, you will develop certain beliefs about sexuality, and you will feel helpless when it comes to making choices about your sexuality. You will feel that you do not have the right to say no, etc. And I will be learning about the right use of will and power, and I will be learning about listening to others. And in some life, some random life, this can dovetail into us as humans, a man and a woman, meeting in this way. But this contract cannot happen without love. It is the same with child abuse. It is the same with robberies and murder. It is the same with all the terrible things that people do to each other. Torture. It is all the same, these soul agreements. I will learn about this, you will learn about that, and I will offer you this teaching, and the other says, thank you. Thank you for your support, other divine being. I accept this teaching. And when I am this human in the year, etc., in this place, that kind of dynamic suits this learning. And it will be painful. So I said earlier, please understand that these situations are all manifestations of the collective imbalance between masculine and feminine. Also understand the nature of these soul agreements between individuals. There is a teaching that has been experienced by each person involved in these dynamics. The souls are, through each dynamic, served. This is a very difficult topic for many humans, whether they have experienced this in this life or not. The violence of these situations cuts to the core of you. Cuts into your heart that this happens to people, that this happens to people you care about and love and have known. This cuts to the core. The Channel Seth, in fact, did not, well, he would say he did not want to do it, but the truth is that he had to go through certain healing processes of his own about these issues across time. About his choices, about the choices of others in other lives, in many lives, in order to feel willing to be open to channel about sexual violence. There were things he did not want to think about, because they are too painful for him to do, to think about. And he reached out to different friends and family members in attempts to speak about these things, in order that he could heal these things, heal this history, so that he could do this work that I invited him to do. And so we acknowledge how difficult these issues can be. Please take the opportunity to adjust to the truths that I have offered you, because that is the only way you will be able to detach from the emotion, from the pain and the anger of what may have happened to self or other, long enough to ground into the truth, to detach from the perception of victimhood of self or other. The Channel Seth actually said to me, I do not want to be the person who brings information through that says everybody should thank their rapist. And yet, once an individual releases the meaning of why it happened, I was powerless, this person was cruel, etc. God was not looking out for me, my parents did not protect me, etc. I was drinking, I shouldn't have been, the beliefs that go with this. I was compromised, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, I was with the wrong people, all of these beliefs. When those are released, then the door opens to be able to see the higher perspective of what this experience has served in the person's journey. What life theme has been served? Then the door is open to say, to observe and witness and recognize, I have learned about trust. I have learned about self-responsibility. I have learned about what somebody looks like on paper may not be how I experience that person. I have learned that I should not give credence to what looks good on paper, etc. These learnings. And when that happens, you can in fact shift into being grateful for what you have learned. And then there is the possibility of seeing that individual as a divine being just like yourself. Not as cruel, as evil, etc., but as a portion of all that is, just like yourself. And if you have chosen to have compassion for yourself, I understand, as a soul living a human life, I was learning what it is to experience these things and what results from these choices and these experiences. If you can have compassion for yourself, you can then have compassion for this other being, who is also God. And you can see that each of you has, individually and then together, as souls, as humans, been acting out the collective imbalance between masculine and feminine. And so what does conscious communion look like? You are grounded. You are in your body. You are aware of what you are feeling. You are responsible for what energies you carry and what energies you bring to another. You are intentional about how you wish to meet another. You are clear about what you want communion to serve in your relationship together. You agree together on what you want this interaction to serve. And you listen to your bodies. You listen to your body, and you listen to the body of the other person. And you respect the what, why, when, how frequently changes over time. You respect that the body contains wisdom that your mind does not, and you listen to your body. You respect your body, and your body says yes, you communicate this. When your body says no, you communicate this. When your body says yes, but not right this minute, tomorrow, something like this, your body is speaking to you. Conscious communion also involves approaching another person as a divine being. Yet to do this, you must accept that you are a divine being. And that requires accepting responsibility for your history. Each partner accepts responsibility for his or her history. Each partner chooses to lovingly create space for history to come up, to be resolved and released. Each person says you to the other are a powerful divine creator who has fashioned lifetimes of experience so that you can learn about this. And you, as a powerful divine creator, have now learned all you can learn through modes of not being conscious and intentional. Through not honoring your body, through not communicating clearly who you are, what you want, what you need, what you can and cannot experience, what is important to you and what is not important to you. You have learned all you can possibly learn. And I am in the same position. And I can choose to know you as this divine being with this history you are perhaps healing, releasing. And yet, I am present with you in this moment, in my body, in my heart, and my mind. And I choose to create something with you consciously. As communication, sexual communion, when conscious, brings you the ability to transcend time. Many of you have had this experience, and it has been wondrous and inspirational. Many of you, perhaps, have had the opportunity to have a relationship or to partner long-term with someone you know from another life. And you can recognize this, the kind of communication that occurs through your sexual communion when conscious heals dynamics across time. It heals your dynamics together, and it heals your dynamics with others, because joining together consciously as energetic beings, such as you are, as divine beings, having these human experiences, you can open each other to, you can experience each other as and self as divine. This connects you to soul, and this heals across time. Time-wise, clock-wise, we are coming to the end of our time together this evening. I would like to offer you one more opportunity for any questions or comments before we close this experience that we have been sharing together.
I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, please.
From everything that you have shared, it feels that ultimately our experience here on Earth is to create this conscious communion of sexual.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, this is a tool for evolution. This is a tool for healing. This is a tool for connecting to soul. This is a tool for knowing who you are. This is a tool for knowing yourselves as God and Goddess within yourselves and then together. So yes, it is in fact, could be thought of as an evolutionary endpoint. What is happening now with this hurtling through space-time toward the end of the Mayan calendar has much to do with reliving history. Many humans are preoccupied now with things from the past, or present situations that have been persisting for years or decades and have not, the person has not seen how to resolve them. So you are at present occupied with history, but yes, please let conscious communion heal yourselves across time. Yes. Yes. The earth is better off for you knowing yourselves as God and Goddess. And there is an issue of radiance when you are open, when you allow yourself to be opened and you open another to his or her divine nature through conscious communion. Radiance. Not just in, what is she doing? She looks great. But radiance as in, that energy is carried. It ripples out. The person shines in his or her divinity as love. And this changes the world around one. Several years ago, Seth had the experience of being in a relationship where it was the first relationship he had had where conscious communion was known to be an option, say it this way, for each of the two people. There was an experience being at a dinner party with loved friends and meeting some people he and his partner had not known prior to this. And the person observed how they looked at each other and just said, "What are you doing? What are you two doing? Look at you." And it wasn't, "You're cute, you clearly love each other." It was this person recognizing a certain level of magic that, in fact, all humans crave. Seth and his partner at that time shared how they approach each other and how they conceive of each other and how they interact and how they connect. And it is not Seth, in his conformist karma, felt that it was inappropriate to speak about this, but it was very clear that it was needed. And several people at the table ended up crying because humans need conscious connection. And to see people glowing because they open each other consciously with love is the most inspirational experience humans can have at this stage in evolution on Earth, 2011. You see this, all of you. I'm hearing four or five noises, affirmations, acknowledgments.
Can I make a comment about that?
Please.
I can think of two instances where I've seen that in the last couple of years.
Ah,
and it
great.
It was beautiful, and it was moving.
Great.
And it was magical, but I wish I saw it more often.
Well, see, now you are in a position to create this in the world. To go through whatever process is necessary for you to be willing to open yourself, to open another, to be opened by that person. So thank you for saying that, for acknowledging that you have seen this. How important. Inspirational. Magic. And it does not matter what you do. It does not matter if there is a teaching, a tradition that you follow. It matters that you meet each other consciously as you are, acknowledge the divinity, acknowledge the history, accept responsibility, and choose to create something with awareness together. Yes, and it is magic. It is magic, and humans crave it. Humans crave it. So whatever you need to do, to all of you, to come out of your conditioning, do it. Whatever you need to do to come out of your history, the reality of the choices you have made and that you have allowed others to make for you, or have experienced others making for you, which as souls you have allowed. Whatever you need to do to release guilt and shame, to choose to come out of suppression of your natural instincts, please do it. Please do it. We have now come to the end of our time together this evening. Please take a moment to wiggle your toes, move your arms and hands, stretch your back, gently move your head and neck, become back into your body, and the channel Seth will wrap this up in just a moment. Thank you for joining with me in this conscious communion this evening. A little light. Feet, toes and shoes, toes on floor, critical right now. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.